Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
One of the greatest nights I've had here at Fox Sports Radio was years ago when the Malice at the Palace took place between the Pistons and the Indiana Pacers. And we did like 4 hours of nonstop Zapruder film-like coverage after that. This night, while not the same, has the same vibe to it as that particular night. We're talking about the Thursday night game. Now, nobody cares about the Thursday night game. And the game was pretty atrocious. It was boring. Boring. The Browns ended up beating the Pittsburgh Steelers 21-7 in that Thursday night game. One of the worst quarterback performances by Mason Rudolph you can see, and no one will talk about that. Not a single man, woman, or child will talk about the fact that Mason Rudolph was terrible. Nobody will talk about the outcome of the game. Nobody will talk about the fact that Cleveland Browns have won 2 games in a week. They went an entire year without winning a game, and now they've won 2 games in a week. It does not matter. It is irrelevant. It's all about the subplot. Don't bury the lead, my man! Myles Garrett, who has now become public enemy number one in the NFL. Everyone wants a pound of flesh at Myles Garrett. It's the story within the story. I assume you know by now, but if you were in maybe you had amnesia or something like that, you were living in a vacuum. So there's 8 seconds left, and the Steelers have the ball. The Browns are going to win the game. And Myles Garrett, trying to get to Mason Rudolph, he snapped at a time you cannot snap. Rudolph was sacked. It wasn't even a sack because the ball came out, but it was a late hit. And then chaos rained down, confusion, anarchy on the field. And that's not hyperbole. That's not hyperbole. Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett, mano a mano a mano, and it led to quite the scene where Myles Garrett used the helmet. He ripped the helmet off of Mason Rudolph and slammed it down, going down on top of the head of Rudolph in what could have been a mortal blow. Conceivably could have been a mortal blow. So let's discuss. Now, what's going to happen to Myles Garrett? There were 3 Cleveland Browns players that were ejected, but the headliner is Myles Garrett. This guy was the number one overall pick in the draft years back. Now, my thoughts, you've got the Incredible Hulk, the Tale of the Tape, and Freight Train. And we will combine all this together. And now, hey, Myles Garrett, forget suspension. This is a criminal act, what Myles Garrett did. If that's outside the stadium, you're going to have to deal with the district attorney's office. That's assault with a deadly weapon. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong on that. I practice law on the radio. Is that not assault with a deadly weapon, it can be a felony if you commit the assault with the intent to kill or cause serious injury. I would say if you throw the helmet down on top of somebody that doesn't have the helmet, you are trying to inflict serious bodily injury. And what constitutes a deadly weapon, by the way, is not specifically defined by the laws in the United States. It's a wide range of dangerous objects, things that could be dangerous. Most people think baseball bat, right? Bludgeon somebody with a baseball bat. But that is a Class E felony. What Myles Garrett did, this knucklehead, was a Class E felony, which is punishable by 15 to 31 months in prison. You're talking about over a year in prison for what happened, and people are worried about a suspension from the NFL. That should be the least of his problems. Now, Garrett became this deranged maniac. The story's got legs. It ain't going to end. It's going to be what everyone's talking about all weekend. Garrett having a meltdown on national TV. It's on Fox. It happened on Fox. He was clearly upset I understand with Mason Rudolph. And Mason Rudolph, listen, Rudolph was annoyed with what he felt was an egregious late hit. So then he did a punk move, Mason Rudolph. He tried to rip Garrett's helmet off, right? So he worked as an instigator. But what do they always say in school? They never see the one that throws the punch first. I learned that at Northwood Elementary. They never see the one that throws the punch first. It's always the second guy that gets in, right? Gets in trouble. And so, obviously, Rudolph, he went out, tried to take Garrett's helmet off. He was the instigator. That obviously backfired. Miles Garrett was so irritated. How irritated was he with Rudolph? He then rips his helmet off like it's like Thor's hammer, and he brings it down mixed with the Incredible Hulk. The strength, superhuman strength, swings, hits him on the head. Now, he hit him with the bottom part of the helmet, not the dome. Not the dome of the helmet. Now, Garrett, you know, I think it's an understatement to say Garrett should have just let the officials take care of this. Easy to say after the fact, easy to say behind a microphone. Clearly, in the heat of the moment, he didn't want to wait for the officials. He wanted to adjudicate this case himself, and he did. He adjudicated the case. He was the judge, jury, and executioner. How did that go? Not good. Not good for him. Now, in terms of the actual fight, I don't know if you know this. My favorite interview of all time is a dead boxing commentator named Burt Randolph Sugar. I love that guy. He was wonderful. What a great storyteller Burt Randolph Sugar was back in the day. He had the fedora and the cigar and all that. I love the guy. And so I want to channel the spirit of the late, great Burt Randolph Sugar and talk some boxing, because this was more of a, I don't know if boxing's the right analogy, but in terms of the tail of the tape, because when you look at a fight, you look at the size of the boxers. You want to see who's got a weight advantage, who's got a height advantage. You look at it that way. Mason Rudolph is actually taller than Miles Garrett. Mason Rudolph is 6'5". He weighs 235 pounds. He's a big Southern boy from Rock Hill, South Carolina. That's Mason Rudolph. Now, Miles Garrett, he's 6'4", so he's losing an inch to Rudolph, but 272 pounds at the weigh-in. He's got 37-pound advantage in this fight. And more importantly, he looks like Adonis, right, compared to Rudolph, Jason Garrett. You got to be smart. If you're going to pick a fight, you got to pick a fight with a guy you got a chance to take down. And then if you go to the CompuBox punch stats, Garrett, not only did he get the late hit on Mason Rudolph, he then was able to successfully rip the helmet off and then attempt to use the helmet, as we said, Thor's hammer on the head of Mason Rudolph. Mortal Kombat. I believe the boxing technique, if I'm correct, and I haven't watched a fight in person in a long time. They don't invite me to the fight. I'm not cool like that. But I know there's a big fight in Vegas next week, by the way. I will not be there. But anyway, I think that's the swarmer approach to boxing. What Garrett did, try to overwhelm the opponent. I believe that's what he did. And I will tell you, call me crazy, but Mason Rudolph, he ought to take a boxing class because he's got to work on his bob and weave. There was not a bob. He did bob, but he bobbed because the helmet came down on top of his head. All right, last point. We're going to hear from some of the participants and the post-game locker room festivities. But Miles Garrett can go on now and win multiple defensive players of the year. He could win an MVP award as a defensive player, which pretty much never happens. It's not going to change his story. He was an out-of-control freight train, and his legacy is now set, right? Tell me I'm wrong, that no matter what happened, Miles Garrett's a young guy. He's only been in the NFL a couple of years, got a lot of time left as a football player, although maybe not that much time left after what happened. All right, but that's it. Finito, done in the internet age. That clip of Miles Garrett swinging his helmet is never going away, right? I started this Maller monologue talking about the malice at the palace, and I would advise Miles Garrett to have a dinner date with Ron Artest. They can get together and Jermaine O'Neal and have a wonderful time. Knock yourself out there. Now, Ron Artest was a defensive player of the year. He won several individual awards. He was part of an NBA championship team with the Lakers, Ron Artest. He did radio here at Fox Sports Radio briefly. I did a show with him a couple of times. I think one time. But he's forever known as the guy who started the Malice in the Palace. That is the legacy of Ron Artest. That is what he's known for. He ain't known for anything else other than that. That's the top thing on his bio. And he even changed his name to Meta World Peace. How about Miles Garrett? He can go, I can't do Meta World Peace. How about World Be Free? Or something like the old basketball player from the San Diego Clippers back in the day. World Be Free 2.0. But this was a full-on Donnybrook. Now, some of the militia chimed in. And I liked what our guy P1 Kai had to say, and several others said the same thing after the fact. They pointed out that Miles Garrett's new nickname should be Helmet Man, like our caller Helmet Man that's got a roach infestation in his home. He's a Helmet Man. So what is the punishment as far as the NFL is concerned? I feel like I'm on the wrong side of it because my position seems to be the position of every blowhard, gas bag, and hardo on the radio. I believe he gets a 6-game suspension. The Browns just played their 10th game. They're 4-6. So it's just clean and easy for 6 games. Now, keep in mind, we are being prisoners of the moment, and we've got to let things, the waters calm. The storm waters have to calm, and then I'm guessing there'll be some other camera angles that will show some things that we didn't see. But even if he's going to get suspended, and he's going to get suspended likely today, and it's conceivable if the outrage army has their way, and I'm not saying the outrage army is wrong on this one. This could spill in. We could be looking at a 10-game suspension. He could be suspended in the first 4 games, the first quarter of next NFL season. He really stepped in it. He really stepped in it in a large way, Miles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns. All right, a lot of reaction from the post-game locker room festivities, and we'll get to some of that. But I did, if just to hear the call, I don't normally play play-by-play, but if you wanted to hear, this is from the Steelers radio network as they described the now notorious play between the Brownies and the Steelers.
He runs up the field and gets out of bounds, but that is not a first down pickup, and it's far short.
Oh, we got reaction.
Uh-oh, we got flags.
Oh, Mason. Oh! Oh!
Oh!
And the Steelers, uh-oh, we got a kick in the end zone by a Steeler. And I got the kick to the head.
He hit him with a helmet. He tried to hit helmet. He tried to hit Mason with the helmet.
Well, yeah.
Well, this just sets the stage for
the rematch.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I believe it was Marquise Pouncey who, he acted like a crazy guy too, but he's standing, that's my quarterback. Like when I saw him kicking and punching Miles Garrett, I thought of T.O. crying, that's my quarterback. That's what I thought when I saw that. I said, well, he's an offensive lineman, you know, he's defending his guy. He's the center of the Pittsburgh Steelers, so he's going to defend his guy. Now, to me, the most surprising thing in all this, Mike Tomlin, who's always got a lot to say. He's a very fiery, good interview, right? Mike Tomlin. And Tomlin was asked about all this, and he shut up. He didn't want to touch it.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself. You guys saw what happened at the end. No more questions regarding that, because I'm saying nothing.
All right. Don't worry. I'm a talk show host. I'll be saying a lot. I will be saying a lot about this. How about Mason Rudolph, the Steelers' red-nosed quarterback? Boy, he was terrible, and I would have just lampooned him the entire monologue, but then this happened. I don't have to talk about the game, thank God. I feel like I wasted my night watching the game. I could have watched the last 10 seconds. That would have been fine. Anyway, Mason Rudolph on what was the instigator, what started this brouhaha?
You know, he had some words and kept on keeping on, and one thing led to another. So, but you can watch the tape, go back and check it out, and make your own assumptions. So.
Isn't one thing that led to another when you're on a date? Isn't that what you say? Well, I hooked up with her. One thing led to another. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. All right, here's more from Mason Rudolph. Now this is good. You know, typically we get the watered down sound bites. Mason Rudolph, let's just say he didn't hold back on his analysis of Miles Garrett.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know, but I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I get it. I mean, it's okay, though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. Mason Rudolph calling Myles Garrett, let me see, but Bush League and a bully and cowardly and the whole ball of wax.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It was a blah night of football up until the very end between the Cleveland Browns and the Steelers. Now, I'm going to talk about something else in a couple minutes here about Carmelo Anthony, but don't bury the lead, as the boss likes to say around these parts. So the Cleveland Browns win the game 21-7, and who cares? Nobody. It was a boring game, blah, 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 blah. Browns won two games this week, but it's the story within the story. The Browns were 8 seconds away from closing out the game, a game that could lead to them finishing with a 500 or better record. They have a lot of cupcakes the rest of the way. And Myles Garrett got into it. A Donnybrook. This game had been a slobber knocker. It had been a physical game. A number of the Pittsburgh players had kicked, not kicked out, but they left the game with concussions. And Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph connected. And Garrett, now Mason Rudolph was an instigator, but Myles Garrett took it to the next level. He reacted because Myles Garrett, there's a Freudian slip, Myles Garrett was upset because Mason Rudolph had tried to rip his helmet off, and obviously the video implicates Mason Rudolph, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's like this happens sometimes in the real world, right? You know, it's punishment has to fit the crime, right? Should punishment fit the crime? And, you know, you steal a candy bar, do you chop your arm off? In some countries, that does happen, but probably not. But the video's all over the place, and Myles Garrett retaliated in a large way. Will he face criminal charges? We talked about that earlier. There was reports the police were milling about there and hanging out, being part of the events there at the stadium, in the locker room after the game. Well, while that is certainly a crime if it happened outside the stadium, it likely will not be a crime at all in this situation. It's just not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is the fact that in America, if this was in Canada, if this was a CFL game, oh man, we'd have something. Right, that'd be criminal charges and all that. But in the United States, very rarely, occasionally something will pop up that becomes a criminal case. Plus, it's in Cleveland, and we know the Cleveland Police Department absolutely love their brownies. So I don't know if they want to. I don't know if the district attorney's office is in on that as well. But it was intriguing. I saw Michael McCann, the great lawyer for
who?
Sports Illustrated, Michael McCann, and he
never heard of him.
Well, you don't know your lawyers. That's a bad job by you. Favorite celebrity lawyer? Go. You don't have one? No. Roberto, your favorite celebrity lawyer? You couldn't name one, right?
No.
All right. Anyway, listen. So Michael McCann said if Myles Garrett swung a helmet at another person's head outside of the stadium and hit him, it would be assault. I went even further. We did the monologue last hour, and I had class. I think it was class E felony. I looked it up. I looked it up on the interweb because keyboard research is the best kind of research, and I looked it all up, and they indicated that kind of activity using a weapon to attempt to kill or cause serious injury, in this case cause serious injury, is described as assault with a deadly weapon. And that is a Class E felony punishable by 15 to 31 months in prison for the person that does it. But because it happened in the stadium when you're wearing a uniform, it doesn't matter. In professional sporting events, that doesn't happen. Now, the other possibility, there could be a civil suit. That's not as sexy, but there could certainly be a civil suit. So keep an eye on this. The punishment will likely come down. I don't think it's going to come down today, though. I know a lot of people are saying the NFL, they've got to. I'm reading these deep think tank pieces about how the NFL has to make an example out of Myles Garrett and all this stuff. I think that will happen, but you got to think the players' union is going to appeal. So even if they do something, the union's going to appeal and say, well, this other guy grabbed his junk or did something, you know, and that's the deal. All right, moving on from that, we'll get back to Myles Garrett. But as the NBA season continues to evolve, it really doesn't start till Christmas. An old friend has returned, or nemesis, or enemy, Carmelo Anthony. Now, this story got buried because of the Myles Garrett story, but Carmelo, he had announced in the morning, I saw this when I woke up, Carmelo had said, it was a TMZ story, that he was going to play in the NBA this season. And you're like, yeah, right, Carmelo's going to play in the NBA this season, sure. He was speaking to the paparazzo at TMZ in L.A. at some bougie restaurant in L.A., and Carmelo Anthony was asked point blank if he'd be on a roster before the end of the year, and he said, for sure, 2,000%. And it turns out he wasn't lying. He likely had this deal in his back pocket. That might have been a celebratory meal. He could have been out having a celebratory meal that he was back in the NBA. I don't know. But a Woj bombing run announced that Carmelo Anthony is signing with Portland. Anthony's going to join the Blazers on their upcoming six-game roadie, and it begins Saturday against San Antonio. So that it's on, like Donkey Kong. It's going to happen. So the question, do you believe that Carmelo Anthony will revive his career in the Pacific Northwest with the Blazers? I do not. I do not. You've got Panicked, Payphone, and Leash in the Carmelo Anthony story. We'll connect all this together. Now, first of all, you listen to this show, you know I'm a skeptic. You know, good talk radio hosts are skeptics. If you're not a skeptic, you're not good at talk radio because you have to be a little skeptical. I would be stunned if this goes well. This has bad ending written all over it. Carmelo Anthony was supposedly blacklisted from the NBA. We've heard that for the last several months.
Racist.
He hadn't played in an NBA game in over a year. Melo played 10 games for the Rockets. He last scored a basket in an NBA game November 8th of 2018. So it's been over a year, and he was like 1 of 11 his last game. It's 371 days, I think 372 days now, and counting. And what this tells me is the Blazers are in a deep, dark place. They panicked. This is a panic move by Portland. They expected to be with the big boys in the West. Portland is a sub-500 team. The Blazers are 4-8. Only four teams have a worse record in the entire NBA than the Portland Trail Blazers right now. Holy Clyde Drexler, Batman. Where have you gone, Kevin Duckworth? And this is a team with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and they are down in the same area with the Memphis Grizzlies, the Cavaliers, and the Chicago Bulls in the standings. And so the reason Carmelo's coming in, he's going to play power forward. He's so fat now, he can play power forward. He's no longer a small forward or a shooting guard. Yeah, because the Blazers, apparently, I don't watch the Blazers much these days, but Zach Collins, their power forward, injured, and so there's a void there, and Carmelo Anthony will come back as a power forward. And desperate times call for desperate measures. There have been hundreds of transactions of players coming and going in the NBA since Carmelo last played. His phone did not ring until this week. None of those transactions involved Carmelo Anthony, not a single run, a single one. Now, secondly, this is going to be an amazing watch. I expect Carmelo Anthony to be on his best behavior at the very beginning. I mean, that's obvious. That's human nature. But then, eventually, his instincts will take over. Bad habits don't go away, and he will settle into his ways. Portland is about to get the full Carmelo Anthony experience, the full Monty. It is a cautionary tale. Carmelo Anthony was a headliner in the NBA. We all know his story, all-star, right? Olympic hero, above the marquee, and he fell victim to Darwinism. Darwinism got Carmelo Anthony. If you don't adapt to the changing world, right, that's Darwinism, you will die. Only the fittest survive and thrive, and Carmelo is not in that category. And the main problem, and we'll see this in Portland, although they play a lot of ISO basketball in Portland, apparently, from what I was reading, but Carmelo, he's still playing like a mid-2000 style basketball. Mid-2000. He's a payphone in the smartphone world. He's outdated. He flourished at the peak of his career with Denver and with the Knicks playing ISO ball. I do not believe you can get away with that and have success in the modern NBA. Maybe we'll find out. He does not believe in passing the ball, does not believe in ball movement. He's generally been lazy. Little effort on defense. Now, a lot of players in the NBA don't play defense. And now he brings that package to the Blazers. That's what they get with Carmelo Anthony. Now, the final thought on this. So in this game of musical chairs and the and, you know, NBA style and all that, Carmelo Anthony, he's got a seat. But it's like a beach chair. It's not a real, you know what I mean? It's not like a lazy boy chair or something like that where you have a recliner where you can settle in. It's nothing like that. And how much rope is Carmelo Anthony going to get? I would imagine he's going to be on a very short leash in Portland, considering the report indicated it's a non-guaranteed contract, which means, hey, if you act up, see you later, pal. Get out of here. Walk the plank. You're done. And I'm not talking Chris Plank. Get out of here. What a perfect team, though. Portland's the perfect destination. They're off the grid a little bit. Carmelo Anthony can team with Hassan Whiteside to form the dynamic duo of sluggards. Like, Hassan Whiteside's like the definition of lazy now in the NBA, and Carmelo was like, well, wait a minute, hold my beer. You know, come on. And that whole thing. But, man, oh, man, we'll keep an eye on this over the next couple of weeks. We'll see how long Carmelo Anthony lasts. But teams have been very fearful. One of the other things is that the bad teams didn't want to bring Carmelo in because they thought his poor habits, his bad work ethic, and lack of ambition on the court would contribute to bad things happening to their younger players. But I fully expect Carmelo, if he gets the opportunity to play a 40 minutes or 35 minutes, he'll shoot 25 shots or 30 shots and make about 5 of them or 10 of them, and that's it. And he'll have 25 points or something along those lines, play no defense, and the fanboys of Carmelo Anthony will say, wow, he's really good. I love him. He's amazing. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox, and we'll go to the phones right now. The big story is all about Myles Garrett. Will he be allowed to play in the NFL again? And the reaction pouring in, the NFL is on the clock. A lot of think pieces are being written right now on the internet and people reacting to what the NFL should do. The fight night, I'm watching the replay over and over again here, the brawling at the end of the game, kicks and punches and the whole thing. And let's go, though, to Berkeley and our friend Andrea. Maybe it's because Mercury's in retrograde. Maybe that's why Myles Garrett snapped at a time he should not have snapped. Hello, Andrea.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Welcome in. I'm wonderful. What's up?
Yeah, no, this is pretty intense. I was looking at Myles Garrett's chart. December 29, 1995. Yeah. Mason Rudolph, they're only 6 months apart. July 17, 1995. The main difference is Myles Garrett has Pluto, planet of power, power struggles, to his Mars in Capricorn. Check this out.
Yeah.
Obsessed with winning, will do whatever it takes to get his way, hurting people around him.
Ooh, he's in the wrong place, though, if he's obsessed with winning. He's not playing for the right team.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway,
yeah.
The person is forceful and potentially ruthless, lacks discipline, prudence, control, and patience. So basically, he lost perspective. He was controlled by his ego. And as a result, he clashed with other people. So more physical than usual, and his excess energy led to trouble. And what's interesting, you know, Mason Rudolph, he has Pluto oppose his son. He's a Cancer, so there's a natural antipathy there with Capricorn and Cancer. So he attracted a power struggle through no fault of his own. He was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time. So this is a very volatile situation, and, you know, it could have been worse, but this is quite ruthless.
Yeah. It's like the Old West, the lawless Old West. It was made for entertaining TV, though, because the game was not very good. But this, I mean, that saved it.
Right. I mean, the last 8 seconds. I mean, that was just, rage and competitiveness and anger. I mean, you name it.
I give Joe Buck credit, though, because Joe Buck got more upset when Randy Moss fake mooned the fans at Lambeau than he did it. He was upset, but I felt he was more upset back in, years ago at Lambeau Field when Randy Moss had his little situation there. So,
well, it was impulsive and it was reckless, and you know, this was just over the top. There was no self-control there. This was really a crazy Thursday night football.
Yeah, it's I wonder what Vontaze Burfict thought about all this. He's suspended right now. I wonder if he saw it, what he thought about all this craziness. Yeah,
good question there. No, this is, you know, definitely some repercussions. I mean, Garrett will probably be suspended towards the end, you know, for the rest of the season at this point.
All right, well, thank you, Andrea. And Virgo in Service on Twitter. You want to look her up on social media. She's a friend of the show, and she's very nice with the militia. Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Have a good night.
You too. There she goes.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Better late than never, the cook food.
Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole became only the fifth pair of teammates to finish 1-2 in Cy Young Award voting. However, there are a lot of people on social media that believe the 1-2 should have been flipped. Ben, should Cole have been the Cy Young winner?
Well, I thought Garrett Cole all year watching the Astros play. I thought, well, yes, of course he's the Cy Young winner. I thought it was a no-brainer. When I saw that, I thought that must be a mistake. They must have screwed that up when it turned out Verlander won. Hey, Garrett Cole, I'd said it on the air during the World Series, the playoffs. This guy's the Cy Young winner. He was dominant 90% of the season. He led the American League in ERA. He led the American League in strikeouts. In several other categories, he had the numbers. Now, my theory now, looking back in retrospect, I should have thought of this before, is that Garrett Cole does not have the name value. It's puzzling that so many people thought Verlander had a better season, because I didn't. Maybe I was watching something else. And B, you're talking about a total of four votes. That's what it came down to, that Verlander got four more votes than Garrett Cole. So I believe what happened, in part, not only does Cole not have the name value, but Justin Verlander, he's got an edge because of that old school baseball writing community. The scribes love Verlander. He's a good quote. Very verbose, and he makes their life easier. He's buddy-buddy with a lot of these writer guys that vote for the Hall of Fame and the MVPs and the Cy Youngs and all that. All right, next!
Trade rumors in the NBA have begun, and one that's making the rounds right now is that the Orlando Magic have interest in DeMar DeRozan. Now, the Spurs currently sit at 5-6 and don't exactly look like the sort of championship contender.
Yeah.
Could you see DeRozan getting dealt, Ben?
I think they should try to get Penny Hardaway and Tracy McGrady to come back before they go out and get DeMar DeRozan. But no, I believe it's 100% that the Spurs will get rid of DeMar DeRozan. Whether or not he goes to Orlando or not, that's an open question. But number one, DeMar DeRozan, it's a bizarre fit. It doesn't seem to be working in San Antonio. They traded Kawhi Leonard to Toronto. They got DeMar DeRozan as the return. He is not a traditional Popovich player. He's a one-way player. He's all about that offense, boss. And yet, he doesn't have an outside game. He's like a throwback. He leads the Spurs in scoring and has not made, I don't think he's made a three-point shot all season.
He's only attempted one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing to me that you can lead your team in scoring in the modern NBA and not make three-point shots. But, and secondly, listen, the Spurs, I watched them play the other night against Minnesota. And I said, who the F is this Bryn Forbes guy? I had never heard of this guy. And Trey Lyles and Derek White, what a faceless, nameless group of San Antonio players. Where have you gone? Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, and all those guys. Unbelievable. And I know DeRozan's at least got name value, but the Magic have been off the grid for a while. I'll tell you what, though, if DeMar DeRozan goes to Orlando, he would be a fantasy basketball player's dream with the amount of points he would score and stat stuffing with the Magic. All right, next!
Doug Peterson spoke with the media on Wednesday, and he compared the Patriots' defense to the 2000 Ravens' defense.
Yeah.
It's a bit of hyperbole, isn't it, Ben?
Why stop there? Why not go Roman Empire in their glory days? Why? No, look, I saw these comments, and the first thought I had was Doug Peterson is simply following the classic coaching handbook. This is known as the Lou Holtz syndrome. You don't know who Lou Holtz is, an old Notre Dame coach back in the day. And it's that old school motivational playbook where you heap praise on your opponent, you celebrate your opponent while downplaying your own team. And you normally tell the media one thing, you tell your players something else. Secondly, the Patriots were historically good when they played Josh Rosen, Falk, Allen, McCoy, and they played a better quarterback last week. It didn't go so well. This is a very interesting game this week. We'll see how it plays out because the Eagles are better. They're not great, but they're better. We're out of time. There it is, Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you passed us.
That's another win. Win, 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 win. All week I won. Every day I won this week. Every day.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lame week.
Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
All right, no, we're not wasting any time. Right to the joke. Are you there, Weed Man?
Yeah.
All right, all right. You're not going to love me after this. Here we go. It's Big Ben's lame jokes. I'll read the joke, pass it off. Eddie, you know the deal. Let's get into it. I don't want to BS anymore. Here we go. What's more depressing than the return of winter?
I don't know.
The return of Weed Man Hippie. That's more depressing. Yeah. That's from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. Did you know that Angry Bill agrees with Michael Jordan?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, Bill said back in the day in prison, there was no load management. He said he just enjoyed it all there. That was from Tom in Fullerton who sent that one in. What is worse than an STD?
I don't know.
Weed Man returning to the show. Anthony Anaheim. Did you hear that I left the hospital with a parasite?
No, I didn't hear
that. Yeah, it's a 110-pound parasite from Miami, Eddie. It's amazing. Yeah, it's
150.
Anthony in Anaheim sent that one in. Did you hear that Helmet Man and Weed Man are going into the hotel business together?
I certainly did not hear that.
Yeah, they're opening a chain of bed bugs and breakfast is what they're doing there. That's very nice. It's from Just Josh. Why do referees live with Helmet Man?
I don't know why do they do that.
He needs daily enroachment calls. That's what he is. So, Kurt from Earth who sent that one. And what's the difference between my gallbladder and Weed Man Hippie?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I can have a gallbladder removed, but not Weed Man. I cannot. That's a.
They tried.
We did try. He was gone for a while. The gag on account. What is Weed Man Hippie's favorite line in the Queen song Bohemian Rhapsody? This came from the gag on account.
I certainly do not know.
I'm just a poor boy. Nobody loves me. So, from the gag on account. What's the difference between Marcel and Weed Man Hippie?
I don't know. What's the difference?
At least Marcel eats. The difference here. Why did Weed Man call into the show after I was hospitalized, Eddie?
I don't know. Why did he do that?
Well, he saw my life savings flash before his eyes. Yeah, there you go. All right. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan. You got anything over there, Koopa Loop?
Yeah, I got something.
All right.
Someone bought a painting of Jeffrey Epstein today.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I hope they have a hammer and nails because it's not going to hang itself.
Oh, that's so funny.
from Kurt from Earth.
You'll really like this one. What do Weed Man and herpes have in common?
Weed Man and herpes, what do they have in common?
Well, they disappear for a while, and suddenly, ta-da, they return. It's Bill from Iowa.
Funny show.
Bill from Iowa. What do you call Weed Man's wife, Lisa?
I don't know. What do you call her?
A hostage. That's what you call. That's Anthony in Anaheim who sent that
Lisa.
One in. Lisa!
Lisa!
Did
you hear that, Lisa?
What is the worst thing about Weed Man?
I don't know. What's the worst
he
thing
He still
him?
Has minutes left on his Obama phone. That's the worst thing. That's Anthony in Anaheim again. Why does Helmet Man love his roaches around Thanksgiving?
I don't know why.
They add a nice crunch to his casserole.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
Bill from Iowa. All right, it's Big Ben's lame jokes. Why did Weed Man keep answering the door while watching an Astros game?
Why?
They kept banging on the trash can. That's why. All right. That's Bill in Iowa. Days of Our Lives is going on hiatus and maybe canceled after 54 years on the air.
Wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Weed Man Hippie will have the longest existing soap opera going. The gag on calm down. Well, why won't Weed Man play the slots in Vegas?
I don't know.
Because they don't pay out bitcoins. That's why. He won't do it. That's from the from the Gag On account. All right, we have a Don Cherry joke. What happens when Canadian television hockey pucks the world?
I don't know what happens.
It loses its cherry, Eddie. Got anything over there, Cooper?
Yeah. Ben, have you ever heard of the Secret Society of Virgins?
No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they're a very tight-lipped community.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, calm down. Oh, that was from
Surfer Todd. Yeah,
yeah, he's got a comedy gig in Huntington Beach. He wants the Malibu Militia to come out. I guess he's doing that somewhere in Huntington Beach. Surfer Todd, the comedian. All right, gallbladder jokes. Why did I wait so long to have my gallbladder removed,
That's
Eddie?
That's a good question. Why?
I liked it in that spot. That's why. I quoted Dave Roberts. It's from Matt who sent that one. What's the difference between Weed Man Hippie and my gallbladder?
It's a good question. What's the difference?
The gallbladder can't return and cause more problems. Cannot do it.
It's a big difference.
From Manic Mike. What's the difference between Andrew Luck and my gallbladder?
I don't know.
Andrew Luck quit before the NFL season started. My gallbladder waited till the NFL season, Eddie. That's from Mike from Oregon. What does my gallbladder and Weed Man both have in common? I got a lot of these jokes.
What do they have in common?
Both are stoned and have been removed from their place of residence.
It's true. It's really true.
What's my favorite board game, Eddie?
Don't know.
Operation, of course. It's from Ayn Rand.
Oh.
What's the difference between a bucket full of crap and the Astros World Series win?
Not sure.
The bucket, Eddie. It's the bucket. I've got a whole bunch of other Astro jokes. We'll save some of those. What's 4 inches long and really makes a woman mad?
Good question.
An empty toilet paper roll. Very upsetting. That's from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. Let's see. What's a good one? I don't know about that. Did you know that Coop is one of our superiors, Eddie?
I did not know that. No.
That's a bad job by you. He's been one of our higher-ups for years now. Kurt from Earth. There you go. We'll leave it there. And we'll have more, though, next hour. Yes, I get the Astros radio roast and whatnot. But a ton of jokes being sent in this week. Thank you all for your joke-writing prowess. Good job by you.